This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, this is fun. Rumor and innuendo from the combine. A true rumor and innuendo. Matthew Berry, and someone is asking on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, which Matthew Berry is it? I get it. There were two. There's one that's still at ESPN as an anchor. He spells his name B-A-R-R-I-E. This is Matthew Berry, B-E-R-R-Y, who's the former fantasy football, as if it matters.
Yeah. You have to listen very closely to how we pronounce the name.
Yeah.
No, it's not Michael Berry, it's Michael Berry.
Yeah.
So it's the fantasy guy.
Yeah, Matthew Berry, yep. Matthew Berry of NBC Sports is where he plies his trade now. Big fantasy guy, as Seth just said. Now, he's very clear that these, and we're going to start off with a couple Texans-related ones, and then we'll get into some super juicy ones that we really like a lot.
This is juicy gossip, John.
Juicy gossip. It's very gossipy.
This is juicier than a fat man eating a peach in a Tuscaloosa greenhouse.
He's a very Southern Belle with this whole thing.
Yeah.
Hey, it's just rumors, you know? It may be unsubstantiated and gossip, yeah. So we'll, That's Seth's music, not mine.
This is juicier than maple syrup on a deep fried pasta.
There you go.
Ugh.
All right. So
this is juicier than a fart in July.
That's juicy. In the deep south. All right. The two Texans related rumors. One is I think relevant to the roster building part. The other one's one sentence, and I'm very curious what you think of this, Seth, the Houston source. We'll get to that. But the big one is that Matthew Berry is hearing some of the same things that our local reporters for the Texans have been hearing here as well. And honestly, it's something that Nick Caserio basically out and out said without applying a percentage to it on our show a week or so ago, which is they're open to Stephon Diggs coming back. They like him. They want him back. But according to a team source, despite Diggs being over 30 and coming off a serious injury, there's a real market for him out there outside of the Texans. As a result, the team may not be able to bring him back. My source tells me it's 50-50.
50-50?
Diggs comes back.
Ooh.
The big point is there's a market for Diggs, and I thought this too. As T. Higgins' name gets pulled off these free agency lists, Seth, and up moves Stephon Diggs one notch. Now, Devontae Adams is out there now too, so that sort of replaces T. Higgins, I think, in that tier. But Stephon Diggs is very high up the list of free agent wide receivers wherever you go look at lists like this.
Chris Godwin, Amari Cooper, Devontae Adams, and then Stephon Diggs. Most of the lists I'm seeing have Stephon Diggs as the fourth ranked. And then DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the wide receivers. Marquise Brown. There isn't, other than Chris Godwin, there's not really a marquee guy out there. So because of that, I mean, it just speaks to how desperate teams are for wide receivers these days.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephon, my guess is it might be 50-50 to the Texans, but there's going to be a team out there that's willing to spend a lot more than the Texans are right now.
Yep.
Because there's some team out there that doesn't have a Nico Collins.
That's right.
Even. So they're going to try to draft a guy that they hope becomes a number one receiver and then bring in a veteran guy like Stephon Diggs. So I think it's less than 50-50.
They'll say, it's an ACL. You know, guys recover from ACLs all the time.
It's like an oil change these days. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The other one, Texans related, this is a simple one. Matthew Berry says, I asked a Houston source, what happened to C.J. Stroud last year? Quote, simple. The offensive line was bad, and then he got the yips. End of quote.
Yips?
Yeah.
He used the Y word on C.J.?
Now, it's a Houston, son of a... It's a Houston source, so I don't think
I will seek him out and destroy him.
I doubt it.
I don't think that... I honestly... The yips is a tough one. I don't ever think that it's really appropriate for quarterbacks, even if a... Just because in baseball, when you get the yips... Those are unforced yips.
Yeah.
It's just where a guy loses the ability to throw the ball. The guy just flat out can't do it. And it's psychological. I think in football and with CJ this year, it was forced errant play, like to the point where because the pass protection was so bad, there were times at the ends of games especially, because you could plot it from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. Yep. I think in the Green Bay game, and then I think also in the Chiefs playoff game, that CJ, the clock in his head was just speeding really fast.
Yeah.
In the Chiefs game, the pass protection was so bad in the fourth quarter that I think he fled the pocket at times, mm-hmm. where he probably shouldn't have just yet, but I can't blame him. So I don't think yips is the fair word. I'll give that source a pass in that they probably didn't put as much thought into it as I do, but I don't think he had the yips. I do think he had more throwing errors from a clean pocket than we expect out of CJ, but it came from a very real situation where he couldn't trust the pass.
Yeah, protection. Dude, my trust level in CJ Stroud, the thrower, is still incredibly high.
And we'll go back to that stat where the percentage of time that Pat Mahomes was pressured in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Pat Mahomes had his second worst game of his career.
Yep.
It was less than what CJ faced on average the entire season.
Correct.
So the amount of pressure that turned Pat Mahomes into a horrible quarterback was what CJ faced all season long.
Yep. All right, let's do the stuff that's really juicy that I know you love, Seth. The very first one, Matthew. We're going through Matthew Berry's combine rumors, and he said the biggest topic at the combine, other than the Starbucks confrontation, was what was going on with Matthew Stafford. And it was the Stafford saga with the Rams played out with the combine as almost the backdrop to it last week. That was a big story. The Stafford felt he was underpaid and the relationship was just fractured between them and the Rams organization. And here, Matthew Berry says the Stafford's feelings, plural. He says, yes, I said Stafford's. Multiple sources told me that among the strained relationships, one was between the franchise and Stafford's wife, Stafford.
Oh,
according to one source, Kelly was supposedly the one who wanted Matt to go play elsewhere.
Oh,
then another source told me Kelly was the one who wanted to stay in L.A. They have four young kids. They didn't want to uproot them. Let me just pause right here. I am so tired of hearing about the Stafford kids and the potential uprooting that would have taken place for them to have to go to school in another city.
How will they ever recover from this?
Oh, my God. Has any kid ever had to recover from being moved from their parents' job? I mean, this is unprecedented. And, by the way,
$50 million a year.
Goodbye, friends. Oh, my God. Didn't want to uproot. I'm getting angry about it. Now, I've never read about a family uprooting their kids for a trade more than the Staffords. Oh, my God.
Honestly, this is the whole thing smacked of just a guy who's probably having a good time at his job, but his wife feels like he's being disrespected. And I know we're jumping into cliches here. You hear this from people who work in estate law, like estate attorneys, that usually when somebody dies, if you just leave it to the siblings alone, they generally they'll do all right on average, okay? It's when their spouses start chiming in. I'm not being misogynistic here. It's husbands or wives, but it's the in-laws and the spouses. They're like, well, Sally, I'll tell you what. Your sister Sally didn't seem so concerned about the property when your father was alive. But now, and then so the spouse, the sibling is like, all right, well, listen, guys, I'm not comfortable with this situation. And poor Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford is just getting, he's getting whipped up and down all over the country to the point where Kelly Stafford's like, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go up to Montana to where Tom Brady is vacationing. And you're going to run into him. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. And you can talk to a real man about who he handles things. All right.
Yeah.
Tom.
And meanwhile, she's like flirting with, she's standing behind Matt Stafford, but she's giving the sexy eyes to Tom Brady.
Meanwhile,
she's always looking for an upgrade.
Meanwhile, Kelly's texting with Giselle, getting a number for a jiu-jitsu instructor off to the side.
Yeah.
All right. So that was number one. We love familial drama on this show. Number two, rumors from Matthew Berry at the Combine. The plan, which has been reported elsewhere, was that Matthew Stafford was going to go to New York and then Aaron Rodgers would go to the Rams. That's off the table now, obviously. The musical chairs for quarterbacks continues. No name is bigger than Aaron Rodgers. I've been told that Aaron Rodgers is now looking at three options, ranked here in order of likeliness as it was told to me. First, go to the New York Giants. Oh, please.
Do it. Oh, God. Do it. Do it, you coward.
Second, go to the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, no, do that.
Change
do
your
that.
Mind, Seth. Yeah.
Do that.
Do that.
Oh, come to the AFC South.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, Sean.
Yes.
Pat McAfee would be over the moon with Aaron Rodgers in the AFC South.
Well, you'd have Aaron Rodgers and Jage, as he likes to call him.
You'd have Jage.
You'd have Jage.
Coming on. That's what he calls J.J. Watt, for those uninitiated.
Yeah.
So, talking smack in the AFC South. But then you'd also have Aaron Rodgers probably at times getting overly sensitive about smack talk between the Colts and the Titans and everything.
Dude.
Oh, that'd be good.
And so you'd have the Colts you'd have the Colts, obviously, with McAfee. You'd have the Titans represented with Rodgers. You'd have the Texans represented with J.J. Watt. And then to represent Jacksonville, you'd get a weekly with, the magnificent Gladstone. Can you imagine McAfee getting buried under? McAfee would point blank tell the guy that he sounds like an idiot, probably. Like, you're burying me under all these words, all these big four syllable words.
So those of you who listen to the show regularly know that I don't care how good the player is. I just want drama in the AFC South.
Yes.
I just want stuff we can sink our teeth into. This division is sometimes just too much of a barren wasteland of drama. Yeah. So I want the drama of, Aaron Rodgers going to the Titans, but also Cam Ward getting drafted by the Titans.
You want both.
And
you
I want both. Yeah. Give it to me all.
Yeah.
I'm being greedy here. And it does... I made
it's
an argument yesterday
plan,
on my YouTube. I made an argument on my YouTube for the Giants. So the other part of this rumor was that the Giants wanted Aaron Rodgers, but that wouldn't stop them from trading up, perhaps for a quarterback, most likely Cam Ward.
Yeah.
I think that's. I don't think that's a dumb scenario. You know how I feel. I feel like more quarterbacks these days, especially, no matter how high they're drafted, should just get a redshirt year, or at the very least be brought along slowly. So I think it's a smart tactic, and I think the Titans, unless they're idiots and cowards, should totally follow that tactic.
The third one is actually, I'm with you, Aaron Rodgers being in the division with the Titans adds some spice, no doubt about it. The third option here that Barry talks about for Rodgers is very interesting to me. Stay in shape and wait for an injury or opening on a winning team with playoff chances, i.e. the Joe Flacco scenario from 2 years ago with the Cleveland Browns. You know, I think maybe what people thought Ryan Tannehill was doing last year, kind of laying low and seeing if anything popped. That might be, that might end up being what happens with Aaron Rodgers.
We don't know when his trip to Egypt is planned this year.
Yeah, he might go on his trip to Egypt without any backlash. You know?
My favorite thing about that whole scenario when Aaron Rodgers missed the mandatory minicamp because he had a vacation to Egypt that apparently he just couldn't afford the cancellation fees, that he basically painted himself like an Egyptologist after that.
He did.
Aaron Rodgers is the classic guy who's got a bunch of books on his bookshelf that look really good.
Never read.
He confessed to it on it. He confessed to it at one point. He said on the Pat McAfee show, he said, "Well, I had all these books laying around. I figured I might as well start reading some of them." He's LeBron James showing up with the autobiography of Malcolm X, and when they asked people his questions about it, he couldn't answer anything about it. Yeah.
Fraud. all right, there's a few more in this Matthew Berry article. We'll rapid fire these. The Jets are planning right now to start the season with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. Okay. Can I get the under on Jets wins right now? Like this very moment, can I get an under?
I feel bad because I like Tyrod Taylor a lot.
Yeah.
I thought he was the ultimate professional when he was the starting quarterback Deshaun Watson was still on the roster and coming to practice at times.
Totally.
I thought he handled that magnificently. And I think he can play winning football. You just can't trust him to play his version of winning football and stay healthy.
No.
Especially now that he's that many years older.
I like him too, man. We're hearing, and this is Matthew Berry saying this, but there's a lot of other people, that the Steelers are going to choose between Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, and that currently Justin Fields is the leader in the clubhouse to be retained in Pittsburgh, which I think makes a ton of sense given that Arthur Smith is still the OC there. You know, running some sort of run-based play action, you know, give Fields some easy throws, that kind of thing. Like, Fields, especially when you saw the way the season ended with Russell Wilson under center, nobody in Pittsburgh wants to run that back with that corny ass. True story.
So. And then there's also rumors that people, or at least people are speculating that Pete Carroll will want to be reunited with Russell Wilson in Las Vegas. And maybe that's the case, but it would be a huge shock to me given that it seemed like those two guys, as much as they are capable of hate, they hated each other.
Yeah.
They're not big-time haters. They're not built that way. They but whatever up. Their version of hate is, it did not seem like a healthy relationship.
They broke up, man. They broke up.
I mean, at points, Russell Wilson was... It seemed very much like Russell Wilson was feeding stuff to the press to paint Pete Carroll and the entire organization in a bad light.
Yep.
And I don't like. I could see Pete Carroll being a guy that can move on from past disagreements or whatever, but I just don't see him being eager for a reunification.
That one is a mystery to me too, Seth. I agree with you. Barry is hearing the same things we just talked about with McShay a couple segments ago on Shadur, that there's teams that are a little turned off by him, but the Cleveland Browns are not one of them. The Cleveland Browns seem to like Shadur, which is...
Do it! Oh, do it, you please, cowards.
Please do it. I need Shadur Sanders in Cleveland like I need oxygen in my lungs right now.
I think there's two things that I've decided from this segment, Sean.
Yeah.
One, we need a gossip segment.
Yes.
Like where
this
we just
all gossip.
A little bit differently than... So we need just straight gossip.
Mm-hmm.
And we also need a segment where we accuse people of being cowards to try to goad them into doing something that we want.
That's true.
Do it unless you're Yella.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll say Yella.
Yes.
Are you Yella?
Yeah.
That's what we'll call it. We'll call it, are you Yella? So come on, Browns. Tell me, are you or ain't you?
Yeah.
Are you Yella?
I love that. I love
Do
that.
Do it. Oh. Get Shadur in Cleveland now.
Best. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you.
Unless you're Yella.
Yep. Unless you're Yella. Y-E-L-L-A-H. Yella. All right. There is a team that is experiencing some really bad stuff up north.
No.
Yeah. Oh. Is this the worst month that a professional sports franchise has ever had?
Oh, it's the worst month by far. They're menstruating at a cello recital. That's what they're doing. It's a bad month. Bad time of the month.
We'll discuss that coming up next.